It's KBIA Thinking Out Loud and the Thinking Out Loud podcast. We've got a couple of guests with us from Detect Nerd. Elizabeth Keach and Doug Miller are here. And I want to start with the name. I'm a little bit older than the two of you, and when that name sends me to a very specific place and a very specific time in my life, about ninth grade, and that wasn't a good thing. I knew I was, but it wasn't a good thing.
Yeah.
It has become much less of an insult than it used to be. You guys are claiming it and wearing it proudly.
We are indeed, yes.
So tell me what Detect Nerd is all about.
What a question.
Well, I mean, it's a constellation of different activities we do.
Mm-hmm.
We do the streaming campaign. We do live games in front of a live audience. And then we try to help people learn how to play the game.
Yeah, tabletop role-playing game, essentially. So any kind of tabletop role-playing games. We originally started with Dungeons & Dragons.
Yes.
But now we're branching off to other tabletop games. But essentially, the whole, with the name Detect Nerd, our whole thing, basically, is finding creating a community for other nerds, making an inclusive and safe spot for other nerds to come hang out and meet each other. And that's kind of where that comes
play
from.
Play board games or talk about their Star Wars figures.
Exactly,
or whatever. Yeah, because we've all got something like that.
Exactly.
True.
Yeah.
And so that's very good. Detectnerd.com, by the way, is their website. And aside from just getting together and playing the games, talk about some of the events that you guys are working on.
Go ahead.
Well, the next one we have coming up is one of the live shows, which we fell into by accident. It was really in search of a place to set up our streaming campaign, and we've had the access to the stage at Sentinel Park. And we thought this would be just fun to show people what we do and let people share in it. But we've had a really good response, and people are really excited, not only about just enjoying watching people come together and tell a story and try to entertain each other, but to have like-minded people come together. And you can enjoy it without even being a participant in the game. You're just, you know, out there having a good time with people who are
you. Yeah, that is something that we really also aim to get an audience that, you know, not you don't have to know anything about tabletop role-playing games, really. It's just comedy, improv, storytelling, and it's something other than, you know, going to a bar or going out to see a band, which those are great things, but it's just another option.
And one of the things that I think makes that work is what you talked about before, Elizabeth, and that is the community. You're doing it with a group of people that you know that aren't going to heckle. At least not too, not too.
Well,
I mean, I don't know, man.
I have to say that it's kind of dangerous to have children in your audience. I'll just say
yeah.
that.
Oh, well,
yes.
Then, okay. We're gonna have a good time with that, I'm sure. One of the things that you said that kind of caught my interest, and I am aware that this happens, but it seems odd to me because I don't play games. I'm not a gamer per se, is the fact that people watch other people play games. I see you guys are on Twitch, and that's a thing now. I mean, I was bewildered when I first heard about that, but my son is into that. So, and how many people are getting involved with that?
I mean, so we started with Twitch. We started doing a live stream of like some of our episodes, and it wasn't an awesome turnout. It just turned out that people wanted to watch it later. So we really just stuck with YouTube. And now, I mean, we have, I don't know, we're getting some followers, like maybe 30, 40 followers.
What I think is interesting, though, well, it's super interesting that people are watching other people play just an action video game, which seems, I don't know, it's not for me. But the current state of the D&D rules are really set up less about a strategy game. I mean, it's a part of it, but equally as a means to tell a story together. Collective storytelling, it stresses character development, how you have challenges. And so, if anything, it's like an improvised radio play as much as it is watching somebody play a game.
I'm starting to hear that, and I like that idea a lot. That's very cool. Tell me, let's pick on D&D for a second, because that's the one I have a feeling most people are going to be familiar with. It was just starting when I was the age where people were playing it around school and stuff. How did you guys fall into it?
Should we start with the eldest?
Yeah, because, I mean, I'm a little bit older than Elizabeth, and so I first played in 1978 when I was a little kid.
Okay.
My sister's college boyfriend bought it home, and I thought, this is the worst, most boring game that's ever been invented, because it took hours before you even did anything. And to be fair, the earlier versions of the game were like historical military simulation games, very crunchy details, like, you know, how much does your character weigh and what kind of mail armor do they have? So I wasn't really that interested in it until I discovered it much later on when mm-hmm. the nature of the game had changed.
Yeah. And that's kind of where I come in now. We had a friend, a mutual friend. She was like, you gotta play. You just gotta play. I have a theater background, and she was just like, you're gonna love it. I love games. You know, you're just, took me like a couple years to really get into it. But I finally did start. And we had a group of, I don't know, five, I guess, before Doug. And then, that's kind of, I literally just got thrown into it, and by just a group of friends that I had known before. And then Doug came along and joined our group, and we actually kind of did this thing where one of us will like run a game. Like every week, one of us would run a different campaign. So we'd switch up the story every week, and we would play every week. And that was for like four years. And you know, once you get into it, it's just kind of can't stop.
It's it's sounding like this is not Monopoly. You roll the dice and you go this many spaces, and that's you know, it's a little bit more complex, but that's pretty much it. There's a lot of creativity involved in this that's not there for Shoots and Ladders or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah, one of my favorite things to do is to create a character and really get into Doug. I've run a couple games for Doug, and Doug really likes to do, so we call it character backgrounds, where you literally, you know, like any kind of concept for a story, you give them a background, right? And so Doug and I are obsessed with doing stuff like that, but now I think Doug's got a little out of control. He sent me a 60-page novella of his character's background.
And I didn't even get all the way through it.
He didn't even get all the way through it. But that is like one of... Doug and I like to write as well. We're very... We like to write. We like to come up with stuff. And so that's kind of... The character creation is so interesting, and you can be... as simple as you want with it, or as complicated as a 60-page novel.
That's fun.
Well, and that's one thing about these game mechanics that I think are really great, is that it encompasses all different kinds of players. There's certainly, if people are strategic and they want a chess match, there's that part of the game. If people want to write stories, there's that part of the game. If people want to pretend to be other people, there's that part of the game. And if you just want to sit around with your friends and eat food and drink, that's part
of
it, too.
There's also that, yeah.
We're talking with Elizabeth Keach, Doug Miller with Detect Nerd. Again, the website is detectnerd.com. Tell me about the people that are there, aside from the fact that you mentioned that it's probably not a place that you want to bring small children to.
Well, actually,
I mean, small children are totally welcome. I guess our whole thing was the heckling part, which the children...
It wasn't heck. We encouraged audience participation, so that was our fault.
Okay. Yes. So for the live shows, we encourage... So now we set out like a tip jar, and we encourage people to tip, and certain monetary amounts will affect the game. Like,
okay.
So there are certain ways you can help a character or not help a character by paying a dollar or something. The first time we tried this, we have kids that regularly come to our live shows, and it's great.
Okay.
Yeah, but like maybe, what, 9 to 13 age?
Yeah, I think there's like four or five of them that come out and with their parents. And the first time we had the tip jar, it was just a lot.
The parents gave these five 10-year-old boys a wad of cash and just said, go wild.
Okay. And having had a son that was of that age was many years ago, I can see how that would happen. Mm-hmm. You get to put a dollar in there, and you can just say whatever you want.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, that's a dangerous.
It was dangerous. It is dangerous, but it's also very, very fun. So audience, I mean, our audience has definitely expanded. Mm-hmm. A lot of nerds have been detected in our community, but there are a lot of people that are coming out that don't know anything about the game mm-hmm. and are really enjoying it. I have a couple friends that don't play at all, and they immediately fall asleep when I mention Dungeons & Dragons outside of it. However, they go to these live shows, and they're like, it's so fun.
This is a community that has a lot of, I don't know if it's more than most places this size, but has a lot of people that are into community theater and doing mm-hmm. shows at CEC and doing stuff at Maplewood. I've done a couple at Maplewood over the years and a lot of the Maplewood radio shows that we did here. And that's kind of where this is sounding like you might get some interest. Mm-hmm. How much of what you do is people coming in that are discovering just thinking this sounds like it might be fun, but they've never played before?
Oh, probably a ton.
A lot.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot. That's one of the reasons why we wanted to, how Detect Nerd kind of became a thing was when Doug and I were involved in all these campaigns, we didn't have time to, when people would come up to us and be like, hey, we want to play, we don't know anybody, or I don't know how to play, I'd really like to, or it seems too time consuming, but I'm still interested, what's it all about? A lot of people were coming up to us like that, and you know, I was just like, well, what if we just started some sort of community resource where we just get a safe spot and people can meet and we can talk about how to play, and then they can branch off and start their own games. And that's kind of how the discussion started, but then, you know.
Well, and I think it's panning out in the sense that when we have our live shows, we see the same people coming out, and they're starting to meet each other and to
exactly.
learn each other's names, and mm-hmm. we're hoping that they will branch off and start their own groups.
Yeah.
And then I also have to wonder, because like I said, I was around when the game first started and remember kids playing it in the hallway at school, and people move to a different city and they don't have the circle that they found in ninth grade mm-hmm. around it. I wonder how many people are coming in that maybe played it when they were in junior high school and haven't touched it in years, but have fond memories and associations with it. Now all of a sudden they find out there's this whole group of people getting together, playing Dungeons & Dragons, having the same fun, maybe even more than they had before, but there's grown-ups involved and there's maybe a beer there or something that you couldn't have done in the hallway at ninth grade.
Exactly.
Yeah, totally.
That's exactly true. Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Again, the website is detectnerd.com. What else have you got going on?
We do fantasy film nights over in the Arcade District. E.T., we're putting that on the 27th. I don't know what I'm asking you. Saturday the 27th, I believe it is.
It can be found on our website.
May 27th. There it is. I just looked it up on the website. So, on May
27th. Yes.
Doug and I provide commentary. There are free raffle entries, so really cool raffle prizes. And it's just a really good time. This is the first one we're going to do outside, which, you know.
Hopefully nice weather.
Nice weather. But yeah, we do those every month. And then other than that, we just have our YouTube campaign. We will be hopefully doing some educational events sometime this summer mm-hmm. where people can get together and learn how to play tabletop role-playing games. And then sneak peek, we have something in the works called Detect Nerd Junior.
Yes.
Oh, great. Okay. So you're going to start propagandizing the next generation of nerds.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes, they will. We will get a group of teens mainly and have them run their own live tabletop role-playing game one-shot in front of an audience.
We have talked about D&D primarily because that's the one that I am familiar with, but real briefly, tell me about some of the other games that people are plugged in with on this, because there's probably a lot more that are kind of outgrowths of that.
There are so many, and honestly, I couldn't. There's Monster of the Week. There is Fate. There's something called. There's also one-page role-playing games that you can get online. But other than that, Doug and I like to make up our own rules based off of 5th edition Dungeons and Dragons generally. And that's just kind of an easy way to do it because 5th edition is so accessible. But there are so many tabletop role-playing games out there.
Well, an interesting thing is the 5th edition, there's a very core part of it that's public domain, really, that everybody has access to for free. And it's almost like if you're a jazz musician, the standards, like you can get any group of people together and they'll know I've Got Rhythm or whatever.
Right.
And it's the same thing with the 5th edition. You can basically have those base rules, get people together, and then add on to it to make your own little world, but it brings people together.
Just riff off of it.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty much. Yeah.
Because especially our live shows, and in general, we don't try to hit the medieval fantasy genre that much because it's kind of limiting and it doesn't feel as inclusive to everybody that's in the world today. And so our games are basically the abstract 5th edition rules, but set in whatever world makes sense for who we are and who our players are and who our audience is.
Mm-hmm.
People are hearing this, and there's going to be some that are just interested because it's a new thing they haven't heard about, but there's going to be a few that are going to hear this and go, oh my God, that's my people. I must go find them. How do they just wander into the place some night?
You can come out to our live shows. They're free. And you can also hit us up. We have a Facebook and an Instagram. We are always into talking about anything. If any kind of, if collaborations like our, we love it. We want to do it. So you can always reach out to us about, and we have an email as well, info@detectnerd.com. I always say at the live shows, talk nerdy to us. We love it. So, yeah.
That's awesome. I talk with people involved in things where there is this huge goal. There's this something we're driving towards. It sounds to me like this is about we're all going to have a good time, and that's pretty much it.
Mm-hmm.
Not a damn thing wrong with that, I'm saying.
Right. Yeah.
You know, but
yeah.
Well, and I'm going to expand it a little bit, which is we have a model of just like in the music scene, it's not just the musicians on the stage, it's the sound guys, the, you know, the venues, the artists who maybe make art for the albums. There's this whole scene built around just the people on the stage, and we would like to have that same model for tabletop gaming.
If
we have live performances, we've got the people in the audience, we have people who are making art for us. We'd like to have musicians playing with us as we perform our games. And make it a different kind of a scene that's not about music or drinking. It's just about having fun together.
Yeah. And I would, on top of that, I would say, going back to the community aspect, you know, like you said, growing up as a nerd, it wasn't necessarily kosher for, you know, it was, you know, you'd get made fun of or whatever. And in that sense, we would like to welcome people that have felt that way in the past and let them understand that this is a community that where you can be safe and in, and you can be a nerd and be your full self, express yourself, and there's no one's there to judge you.
Exactly. I mean, there's definitely, if you go out on a weekend in Columbia, there are places as a nerd you're just not going to feel welcome or comfortable, or this isn't your thing. And I hope that our events are like, I don't have to feel weird because these are people like me doing things that are important to me.
Mm-hmm.
And the guys from the football team aren't going to come dump my book bag out or whatever.
They might actually show up and like hang out too. We don't know.
And because there are lots of people who like to play games.
Yeah.
Yes. That's awesome. Once again, I would say that if this does sound of interest to you, the place to start is going to be the website. It's, again, detectnerd.com. They're doing a lot of events. They're doing the films. They're doing the nights with the shows and the games. And it sounds like a blast. And, again, it's detectnerd.com. Elizabeth Keach, Doug Miller, thank you guys a lot for coming in. And
thank you.
Thank you.
Just keep having fun with it.
We will.
No problem.